On Dukes and Bell, brought to you by Mark Spain Real Estate. Get a guaranteed offer on your home today.
He gets greeted rudely by Ronald Acuna Jr. It is gone.
Sports Radio 92.9, The Game.
It is Dukes and Bell. Our buddy Graham McCauley is here. We go around the yard with him almost on a daily basis, and the Braves are back home, so that's good news. Grant, how you doing today, my friend?
Yeah, doing well. Happy to be back at the ballpark, but it is scorching hot out here.
I told Carl earlier, Grant, I mean, I was on, I think I'm on IL right now after mowing the lawn. It was just miserable.
Yeah, well, listen, and we're joking, but seriously, like being out there in the outfield on days like today, they've said tomorrow the heat index is going to be hotter. You got to be careful, right? I mean, you don't want guys to get overheated. I mean, people take for granted, oh, they're just standing out there. Dude, that is a serious situation with guys out there in the outfield.
No doubt. I mean, and hydration is a big part of what they're doing between innings. I mean, nobody's going out there like we were in Little League where you go out, you play for a little while, maybe have that, right. that little cone cup of water, and then somebody brought Coca-Cola's for you after the game. That's just not how that's working. So, I think they're all very well aware of it and trying to keep ahead of that because, as you know, you start getting overheated or you start getting dehydrated, you start getting some cramps and things like that and some major muscles, and we don't need anybody else dealing with anything that's going to take them away from this club. They have already dealt with enough of that.
Right. Speaking of dealing with stuff, I saw your tweets at Grant McCauley about your conversation with Whit Merrifield, who had some really good years with Kansas City. Now, kind of, I guess you throw him down there as a journeyman, but he never wanted to be on that IL, and this, he was trying not to have it happen with that finger issue.
Yeah, he said it was a point of pride to not go on the injured list. And I had talked to him, and, you know, I said, yeah, I saw the video. How's it looking? I can see he's still bandaged up a little bit. And he said, yeah, so I happened, and I just kind of shook my hand like I do because every once in a while, you know, like something just takes a weird hop, and it goes off your glove and hits you in the hand because both are going down at the same time. So it wasn't altogether that weird that a ball had deflected off of his throwing hand. But then he was like, I shook it, and then all of a sudden I was like, okay, well, it's still bleeding. And now it won't stop bleeding. I'm not sure what's going on. And obviously it hurt. And he was saying his index finger hurts a little bit more than the middle finger, but that was the one that wouldn't stop bleeding. So eventually he went to see a hand specialist. They brought it in there. Took a look at it. They were able to lift his nail up and see the bone. So anything that anybody would want to go through, you can just already, that reaction tells you everything. Glad that he was able to get through this. And it just shows you how tough and how much he wants to be out there with being able to go through something like that, because I would be on the IL there for about a month.
Yep.
Grant, I know it's a different club, but there are some familiar faces with Jorge Soler here. I'm curious to know, does he just get acclimated? Like, you step into the clubhouse and it's like, Jorge, you know, hey, come. Or is there just this process for him with the new guys and the new faces? Because this isn't 2021.
There's probably a little bit of both because, I mean, there are still some guys around, and obviously, you know, there's a few less every year, but everyone's cognizant, obviously, of what happened that year and what role that he played in it, and everybody can also kind of look around and say, hey, we need the kind of help that this guy can bring. So there's a lot of excitement about that for his former teammates. Clearly, they know what kind of difference that he can make. And for the Braves in general, from a just overall offensive standpoint, this is a really good fit. So I don't think it'll take him long to get reacclimated here in Atlanta. The biggest test to me, biggest task for him, if there is one, is, hey, you got to go out and play right field now because the DH is already set here in Atlanta. So that doesn't seem like it's going to be a problem for him. Clearly, you know, you're not going to forget how to play out there, but that's a new responsibility coming to this club, and the Braves need some help out there in the corner outfield spots, and they've seen Soler do it before. They believe he can do it again.
I wasn't trying to be like Sparky the sportscaster yesterday, but I did say it's one of those where you wish Ron Washington was here if he did have to have an acclimation process as far as helping with his fielding.
Yeah, I mean, Wash was more the infield guru, right. So, you know, that would probably fall on, I guess, Tom Goodwin here, or would have fallen on EY previously, but
Eric Young, right.
Yeah, you get as much service time as some of these guys have. Really, it's just, let me go out there, get some reps, just make sure I'm taking the right angles, make sure I know kind of how the ball reacts with where I am against the wall, because obviously you got to play some caroms off the bricks. That can be a little bit challenging. But really, as the Braves have brought in outfielders here, corner outfield guys, and tried to figure out where they want to play them, you know, Brian Snitker has always said, and I've always heard just in general, that the Braves kind of look at right field as being perhaps a little bit easier to play here than left field, because left field plays much bigger. So you like to have somebody maybe with a little bit more mobility, a little bit more speed. Not that Soler can't play it, but I think that's just kind of part of the thinking. So when you look at getting Michael Harris back, I think you'll see Jared Kelnick sliding over into left field and, you know, getting comfortable in there, and they'll kind of figure out the rotation of playing time that they need to. And then all of a sudden, obviously, the bench could get a lot better because now you've got Duvall and Rosario and Kelnick and Harris back, and then obviously Soler here in right field.
Grant, let's talk about the rotation. It seems like we're going to be in good shape as far as with these injuries that we thought might be a problem. Freed, eligible to come off the IL Friday. So what's this rotation setting up to look like this weekend against the Marlins?
Yeah, so you got Charlie Morton on the mound tonight. Spencer Schwellenbach will go in game two on Friday. And then Saturday will be Grant Holmes, who pitched extremely well in a spot start against the Milwaukee Brewers. Clearly facing a club like the Marlins, you feel like, all right, well, if you can have this much success against a first-place club, why not see if you can go out there and do it again? I talked to Grant Holmes for a while before this game as well, just to kind of see where his headspace was at. And he said, I'm excited for whatever opportunity I have. It was very cool for him, somebody who grew up loving the Braves, to get to start a game for the Braves. This has been quite a ride for him and a really great story. But, yeah, he's excited about the opportunity to get back out there. Then Sunday becomes interesting because the Braves still have not listed a pitcher, but if Freed is eligible to come off on Friday, they could activate him as soon as, what, I guess it's tomorrow now. But maybe he's the guy that throws on Sunday. And they're still trying to figure it out with Rinaldo. Encouraged by the MRI results, but would it be beneficial right now if you have the necessary bodies and depth around to maybe give him a little bit of a rest for a couple of weeks, maybe lean on Bryce Elder, maybe lean on, who knows, it could be Ian Anderson, AJ Smith-Shawver, Grant Holmes could help out with this whole equation as well. If there was a time to do it, maybe this would be that time just to let it all calm down. But we'll see how that all plays out. The fact he didn't go on immediately should tell you everything you need to know about what they believe the severity of the actual issue is, and maybe just some more rest would be helpful.
The lineup a little unique, not exactly what we would have expected, like so much of these lineups back in Northport back in March, but you got Arcia, who's batting 278. He batted 278 for July Grant. He's in the five spot, and we've maligned Murphy for his lack of hitting, but he's back in there tonight behind the dish.
Yeah, and I think that Sean has and Travis d'Arnaud both have swung it better lately, and clearly Orlando Arcia has. I mean, he's got an 11-game hitting streak coming into this one. That, I think, just kind of falls under the who knows what's going on down there. Why not ride the hot hands and just try to maybe move some pieces in and out as you need to? But, yeah, I think Orlando's swinging it well here lately. Why not give that a shot and see what he's able to do here? So, yeah, the top four or five, you pretty much know what you're going to get. After that, I think you can kind of spin the wheel some nights, and it may just look a little bit different each and every day, which is unusual for a club like the Braves that we came off of a year last year where it didn't feel like there were very many moving parts.
Grant, have we been, in your opinion, I mean, we've been a good home team, obviously, but, you know, when we talk about this division, and now what are we, 6.5 out behind the Phillies with everything that's happened so far this week, you know, you start wondering, like, this is my thing. I always want to win the division because of that home field advantage, right? You get that plus, but you feel like we've been a good enough road team that, hey, as the season has progressed and now with the additions that we've added, you feel good about how well we've played on the road?
I mean, they're a 500 club away from home. And so that would tell you could be better, could be worse. But they've been very good here at home. So I think that's kind of the advantage that you mentioned about going into the postseason and knowing that you get to start a series at home, play a couple of games there before you do have to go anywhere. But the onus has been on the Braves in the first couple of series that they played with a home field advantage to win both of those games. They've split them and then gotten onto the road and not been able to get out of Philadelphia and bring the thing home. So who knows how all that will play out. There's a lot that can go on in the next couple of months, or less than 2 months now, I guess, for this division race. The Phillies are sliding a little bit, but they're still an extremely good team. This is not like all of a sudden there's a panic mode up there, but over 162, and now we're in what I call the dog days of summer. This could be just a time where maybe you can make up a little bit of ground, and maybe there will be some intrigue around the final couple of matchups between the Braves and Phillies head-to-head.
I just know that in Philadelphia Sports Talk Radio, Grant, oh, yes, there is a collapse of proceeding right now. You know they're going to be pulling their hair out because they still know and they think they've got one over on us, but they know they don't want to see us. And another thing, I think this could be a whole season of firsts for us, Grant. After all the times going back to the Bobby Cox years, you won the division and lost in the NLDS. Mm-hmm. Maybe this is the year that the new the different approach works, where we come and we do it through the wild cards. We never have to take that time off.
And it's just get in, right? And we saw the playoff schedule come out again today. I believe it's a 6-game gap for those top seeds to sit and wait for their NLDS or ALDS matchup while the wild card round goes on. I would think, and I think most people would, if you can get the rest and reset, and the Braves were dealing with some injury issues, especially in 2022, to their pitching staff, that you kind of wanted the extra couple of days and not sit around. But then I felt like they prepared extremely well last year, and they didn't hit, of all the things to go wrong. So I'm with you. I think that ultimately the answer to everything is just get in and find a way to win, because if you do that, whether you have to play the wild card round or not, it could be anybody's postseason, and we've seen that pretty much in the results of the last couple of years, and especially with the 2023 World Series matchup we got.
Grant, I want to get your opinion on this before we let you go. This just in, Mike Trout, he puts out a statement. Since my initial surgery on May 3rd to repair my meniscus, my rehabilitation proved longer and more difficult than I anticipated.
Oof.
After months of hard work, I was devastated yesterday when my MRI showed a tear in my meniscus that will require surgery again, ending my hopes of returning this season. That's from Mike Trout. He goes on to talk about supporting his team, but he's done. And, you know, we've had this conversation with you. I just want to get your thoughts. You're a historian as well. Listen, this guy's been as good as anybody. But, you know, one of the comments on this page and I'm looking at is Ken Griffey Jr. Like, unbelievable talent, but it seems like he's always injured. And it sucks for Mike Trout and sucks for baseball.
Yeah, that definitely does. I mean, I'll 100% echo that statement. And it's just, you kind of have those athletes, I guess, that you ask what if, and it's crazy to ask a what if about somebody who had the kind of years that Mike Trout or Ken Griffey Jr. had, but it's still fair because you kind of wonder, well, where would they have been in amongst the pantheon of all-time greats and records that they could have broken or records that they could have set? That's certainly a case where I think a lot of people looked at Griffey and thought, if there's somebody that's going to pass Hank Aaron, it's going to be Ken Griffey Jr., but the injuries took him away from it. Still 630 career home runs. Trout's a little bit light of that, and the injuries appear to have really taken a huge bite out of his playing time really over the last, what, 4 or 5 years now. So I want to see him healthy again in the worst way, because I am a fan of the game. Obviously, I've spent a lot of time around it, and Mike Trout is a generational talent. If he never plays another game, he's still a first ballot Hall of Famer, but it is kind of starting to creep into the what could he have been were he to remain healthy, and that's an absolute shame.
And I know he plays in Southern California, so it's not like he's playing in Detroit, you know, or Boston, where you'd say, you know, a change of address would help him. I mean, just a bad franchise. But yeah, you really feel for the guy. You're right, man.
Yeah, I mean, he's a tremendous person in addition to being a great player. And unfortunately, he can't make all the moves to bring in the cast of characters they've needed to get him into the postseason. But when healthy, I mean, Mike Trout was a gold standard player, and not many guys are able to say that they ever reached that upper echelon of their sport.
All right, Grant, great work, man. We just wanted to drop that in at the end of our conversation because that news just hit. We'll see what our Braves do tonight, and we will talk to you tomorrow.
Absolutely. Thanks, guys.